Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I am the No BS Bishop, and the title of this particular broadcast has been going on for 4 years now is I'm Alive to Love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into bait and switch, which is another way to say it is BS. It's just not right. It's just manipulating people, trying to get something out of people that was never supposed to be our goal in this life, but simply to love. The highest value of all human desire is love. The greatest single need and desire of all humankind is love. And I believe every person is worthy of receiving love. My love, God's love, your love. Love your neighbor, Jesus said. Love your enemy as yourself. So here we are. And that's what I'm here to continue to press the envelope with you, to press your mind, your emotions, your priorities, your view of the world and life. So we do a few things here regularly to keep me on track, keep me between the white lines of the highway, to sustain in me a start and a finish, and to help you to be who you are called to be as well. I wrote many years ago something I call Love's Creed. We're going to repeat that in just a moment, like a vow, and like a vow at a wedding altar. And I just want you to join me in it. I want you to savor it. Make it your own. Maybe you want to take it and edit it for whatever purposes that suit you. I'm not worried about it. But what I am concerned about is that you would rise to the calling of love. And maybe something as simple as a creed will give you the daily priority to make love your priority. All right. So we'll start with that. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer shortly after that. All right. Here we go. Join me in Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total, then we'll come back, and then I'll give it to you in short bursts, like wedding vows at a marriage. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me. I'm convinced it's important for us to hear with our own ears, our own voice, saying what we believe, and to say it with some kind of regularity, a routine maybe, but like a meditation, a contemplation. So say these words with me as I give them to you now. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. If you'd like a copy of that, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Be my pleasure, it'd be my honor to send you a copy. So you can put it in your computer, on your phone, or on a 5x7 card, and just have it at the ready to read it and to remind yourself, this is why I'm living. This is why I'm on the earth. I'm alive to love. Next, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer to get us started for today's topic. And by the way, today's topic is the single greatest need And the greatest desire of humankind is love. We're going to talk about that. And I want to take you down some deeps of that, some depths of that, some widths and heights of that. But before we get there, let's say the Lord's Prayer, the words that Jesus taught us to pray. If you don't know it, that's fine. Just let me pray it over you as we start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Powerful words, rooted words, words that have been prayed by millions of people for 2,000 years. The most prayed prayer in human history. If you ever want to pray something that you have a sense that you'd like to have somebody agree with you, well, there you go. That prayer is a for certain somebody somewhere, even every hour of every day, somebody's praying the Lord's Prayer. So to the subject for today, the greatest single need and desire of humankind is love. Mother Teresa said one time, there's more hunger for love than there is for bread in this world. Now, you have to put that in the context of this amazing human being, Mother Teresa, who fed the poor in Calcutta, India. This isn't just a momentary one weekend out of a year or so that she fed the poor. No. She set up feeding kitchens for the poor, so starving in Calcutta, India. She reached out to people who were literally dying from malnutrition. Now, hear that. And she says, in that context, living in that kind of profound need, she said, there's more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. And that's why I'm saying to you today, the greatest single need and desire of humankind is love. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care what your positions on priorities this way or that. I don't care what denomination you belong to or no denomination, which, by the way, most people who are people of faith, whether they be Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever else you may be, most people are not going to churches anymore or synagogues. Most people are on the outside of organized religion looking in. Since the turn of this century, 45 million Americans have exited the brick and mortar of church. Well, there you go. We got a migration, spiritually speaking, happening right under our nose. I liken it to being blindsided by a snail. This has been happening not just the turn of the century, but it was oozing up on us all back in the 80s and 90s. Got profound late 90s, and then it got really serious in the 21st century as of the turn of this particular century. So why am I saying that? I'm saying it because the hunger of humankind is not for religion. The human condition is hardwired for love. It's not hardwired to go sit in hard benches and listen to a boring monologue. The human condition is hardwired for love. We're not on this earth to make sure that we belong to the right sect or the right theological or doctrinal stand. I go to churches all over the place. I've spent 50 years being a pastor and now a bishop of the church. I'm not trying to destroy the church. In fact, I'm trying to save the church from itself. I'm trying to help the church understand you're not shrinking due to the fact that people are evil in the world and they hate you. You're shrinking because you aren't feeding the world the one thing they're hungry for. The greatest single need and desire of humankind is love. There is no greater desire. So whatever it is we got to do in terms of people of faith, I don't care what kind of pack-a-pew idea you had. That comes from my generation. There used to be something we called pack-a-pew. And what a dumb idea. Let's just make sure we got as many butts in pews on a Sunday morning as we can force in the building. And then guess what? Next Sunday, we'll go right back to where we were, and nothing will have substantively changed. We've become masters of diversion rather than masters of love. We are kings and queens of managing shame and blame and fear. Oh yeah, we're going to use fear to get people in church. You know, if only we could tell the whole wide world how bad, evil, sick, and wrong they are, and that as evil and suffering as they may be in this planet, oh, guess what? When you die, oh yeah, we got H-E double hockey sticks waiting for you. You're going to burn forever. That'll get people in church. Like Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? Well, it's not working real good. It's not working at all. It's in fact, it's driving people away. It's driving them out the doors. The exits are clearly marked. And folks are happy to operate the exits for their purpose to get out of Dodge, even if it's the first St. Dodge Church of wherever you are. So this understanding, this isn't an understanding that I cooked up somewhere, and not even Mother Teresa. Oh, somebody far smarter and greater than me and Mother Teresa and 20 times all of us put together, Jesus said, and by this shall all humans know you are my disciples indeed, if you have love. Am I going too fast? Jesus gave one commandment, and he said, and all the law and all the prophets hangs on one commandment, love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It doesn't suggest for one split second that it's okay to go out and murder somebody or steal anything or covet your neighbor's wife. No. What it's saying is that if you will genuinely discover, embrace, and live the principles and the power of love, then all the law and all the prophets will hang right there on that coat hanger, and you'll have fulfilled the law. Jesus was very clear about this. He said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's where I'm going to land today, because, again, the purpose of today is the greatest single need and desire of humankind is love. And Jesus said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, obviously, that love was demonstrated on the cross. That love was absolutely bleeding into the earth below him when he died in the horrible Roman execution chamber of the cross. That's obvious. I hope it's obvious, at least. But Jesus, at the time he said this, that you love one another as I have loved you, he is loving them by showing them the Father, showing them the greatness, goodness, the beauty, the significance of the Father. Making sure they understand that the Father is not in the retribution business. He's not in the calling fire down out of heaven business. I hear people talk about that sometimes over the years, and they quote the Old Testament when the prophet called down fire on the prophets of Baal. Well, there's a new sheriff in town, and the sheriff's name is Jesus, and he said, there's a new law, and that law is love. And on the law of love, all the prophets are all fulfilled right there. Now, why is Jesus saying that? And why am I talking about it? Because the greatest need of all humankind, our greatest desire, is love. Love supersedes the desire for food, as Mother Teresa said, and I quoted earlier. It supersedes the need for community, because if I have community but I don't have love, I got nothing. All I got is a bunch of people who are together for a little bit of time, hopefully for a long enough time that they might discover love. But if they don't discover love real quick, that community becomes an exploding human bomb, because people start tearing at each other. They start ripping on each other. If love does not hold community together, community is its own worst enemy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the people who have a love for the vision of community will destroy community, which is to say that when I am positioning myself to, and let's put it in the context of the church trying to save itself. Let's get more potluck dinners. Let's get together for more coffee and donuts together. Hey, I got an idea. The men need to have a meeting. Hey, I got another idea. Let's have the ladies get together. I got another idea. Let's make sure we got a bunch of youth. I'm not opposed to any of those things, but I'm going to tell you this, that if all of those things are happening, but there is not capital L-O-V-E, love, if there is no love in it, it is worth nothing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, we like to quote 1 Corinthians 13 like it's a great place to position your wedding vows, to put a church gathering together so that we can talk about weddings. It works. I mean, it works okay there. But when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, he was not writing it for the bulletin at a wedding ceremony. He was not writing it so we could stand all together and at our wedding ceremony, the officiant say, "Now let's repeat together 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not against that, but Paul, I can't even begin to dream that Paul was thinking that when he wrote that by the inspiration of Holy Spirit. Paul wrote that to the church of Corinth. I want to say that one more time for emphasis, to a church in the city of Corinth. And he said, you can give all your clothes away to the poor. You can be burned at the stake. He said, you go prophesy. You could move mountains. You know, I've often spoke to a few mountains, and I've only had them come back and pounce on me and crush me under them. I believe in mountain moving faith, but Paul said, if I have so much faith as to move a mountain, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. Not something, not a little bit of something, and it kind of balances out. No. It's not. It's going to balance out. No. It's about if I have not love for any of the, you name the idea of charity, you name whatever it is we do, feed the poor, give my clothes away. If I don't have love, he said, it is nothing. Now, why am I being so forthright about this? I'm glad you asked. I'll answer the question. I'm being forthright about this because the greatest single need and desire of humankind is love. I believe that here, you know, in the United States right now, we're in the election season, and with all the vitriol and the partisanship and the emotional, verbal grenades lobbing over the the boundaries that we fight each other, it's so tiring. My wife and I have a habit of muting the television or whatever device is playing, and a commercial comes on, a political commercial, and even if it's a side we particularly have an affinity for, we mute the TV, we mute the sound, because the vitriol is suffocating. And it's also a contribution to the lovelessness that we are experiencing as a nation. Our nation, precious as it has been to me, beautiful as it I have always believed it to be, is suffering greatly during this political season because love is not our goal. Our goal is to defeat the other. Our goal is to diminish and demonize the other. Our goal is to see to it that the other is made less than human so that we can win. But when we've won, what did we win? What did we win? We won a life and a society and a culture that is starving to death for love. I would propose that the United States of America is currently in more of a starvation mode than Calcutta, India was when Mother Teresa was serving the poor. She had a saying one time, it just pops in my head here. She said, "Find your own Calcutta." She said that to people who were coming across the ocean and flying there from all over all parts of the world because they wanted this mission to Calcutta. And she finally learned to say to people, "Find your own Calcutta. Go find where it is that you can feed the starving. And she said, the starving are not the starving for bread. The human race is starving for love. I see it's true right here in the most prosperous nation in history and on the earth right now, the United States. We are prosperous beyond all imagination. I see this starvation happening where there are prosperous families. They got all the money they could ever dream of having, but if they do not have love, that money is a poison. That privilege of being sustained I don't have any worries. I'm all fine and good. In fact, Jesus told a proverb about that one time. He said the rich man, he said he was exalted. He had no need of anything. But then when he died, he was burning, not in some eternal compost where he would burn forever. He was burning in his loneliness. He was burning in his lovelessness, being destroyed by his own choice of living a loveless life. And then he realized, oh my, go warn my brothers. And the proverb says, oh no, your brothers have the law and the prophets. But if one should rise from the dead, if they don't believe what's already in front of them, they won't believe if somebody rises from the dead and tells them, avoid the path of lovelessness. Now, that's me putting a little spin on that proverb. All of that is to say that Jesus makes it abundantly clear. You can save your church if somebody came in and gave you $1 million for your church to go on another year or another 2 years or 10 years. They can give you a savings account, a bonding, or whatever it is you need to make sure that all your needs are met. But if you have not love, it's for nothing. You might as well have used your church for a lot of other purposes if you have not love. And that means love for all humankind. I mean, that means all people everywhere in all conditions and every station of life, all of their behaviors, all of the stuff that makes all us church people nervous. If we don't have love for them, well, oh well. Your building might just be a great mom and pop hotel motel because you're just living for self-preservation. Move to the love. Move to the every person worthy of receiving love. Move your life toward the radiance and the beauty and the significance of love. I believe that if the church sold everything and gave it to the poor and then loved everyone around them, we would see an awakening in this nation like we have never seen before. I hear people talking about, we need revival like in the past. Nope. We need a revival of the love of God. And maybe not a revival, but a once in a lifetime, once in history, deluge of love. All right, folks, I'm going to bring this little airplane, the USS Randy Dean, Bishop Randy Dean, in for a landing. And I'm going to just give you a couple of things to ponder here today. I want you to ponder the fact that if you will breathe well, you will live well. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Get as comfortable as you know how. Sit up straight and take a deep breath. Here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold. And exhale. Do that 5 minutes every day. It'll help your mind, your body, and your soul. Last but not least, I do this every No BS Bishop. I command your attention to do one thing with the three most holy, charmed, magical words in all of history, in all of human conditions. The three most charmed, holy, magical words are, I love you. Say it to your family. Say it to your spouse. Say it to your neighbor. Say it to a stranger. It's awkward as all heck. It's awkward and unnerving when you do it. I know. I have an experience with it. I do what I'm asking you to do. I say it as often as I know how. Occasionally, I've seen the look of terror in the eye of somebody when I tell them, I love you. The look of terror is shock, because routinely we are not hearing or feeling the authenticity of those words. I want you to learn how to do it, and it'll become a tradition of good report for you and your family if you'll practice it. The biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And going back to finish here with how I started, by quoting Mother Teresa, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. These are my sign-off words now with the No BS Bishop. And as you know, I say this as a sign-off. Let's go out there and do something beautiful, shall we? Oh, my goodness, especially in our politically charged and self-destructive mood we're in right now. Let's go out and do something beautiful. Let's pay it forward with the beauty of love. Ugly! Do I need to say it? Well, I will. Ugly is getting done to death. Let's be the people of beauty who are loving all, every day, any place we are, at all times, in as many ways as we can think of, and in as many ways as humanly possible. May we love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. God bless you all. Happy trails. And I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.